Chapter 79. An early morning mist quilted the Hudson Valley, cutting visibility to 50 yards. On the opposite side of the hill from the covered entrance of the quarry, Pitt had set up a command post in a motorhome borrowed from a nearby fruit farmer. Ironically, neither he nor Shaw was aware of the other's exact location, although they were separated by only a mile of heavily forested hillside. Pitt felt groggy from too much coffee and too little sleep. He longed for a healthy slug of brandy to clear the cobwebs, but he knew that would be a mistake. As inviting as it sounded, he was afraid it would cause a reverse reaction and slow his thinking, and that was the last thing he needed now. He stood in the doorway of the motorhome and watched Nicholas Riley and the diving team from the DeSoto unload their gear, while Glenn Chase and Al Giordino hovered over a heavy iron grating that was embedded in a rock-walled side of the hill. There was a popping sound when they lit an acetylene torch, followed by a spray of sparks as the blue flame attacked the rusted bars. "I won't guarantee that opening behind the grating is an escape shaft," said Jerry Lubin, "but I'd have to say it's a safe bet." Lubin had arrived a few hours earlier from Washington and was accompanied by Admiral Sandecker. A mining consultant with the Federal Resources Agency, Lubin was a small, humorous man with a pawnbroker nose and bloodhound eyes. Pitt turned and looked at him. "We found it where you said it'd be." "An educated guess," said Lubin. "If I had been mine superintendent, that's where I would have put it."
"Somebody went to a lot of work to keep people out," said Sandecker.
"The farmer who once owned the land." This from Heidi, who was perched on an overhead bunk.
"Where did you come by that tidbit?" asked Lubin.
"A kindly editor, a female, I might add, got out of her boyfriend's bed to open local newspaper files for me. The story is that about 30 years ago, 3 scuba divers drowned inside the shaft. 2 of their bodies were never found. The farmer sealed up the entrance to keep people from killing themselves on his property."
"Did you find anything about the landslide?" Pitt asked her.
"A dead end. All files prior to 1946 were destroyed by a fire." Sandecker pulled at his red beard thoughtfully.
"I wonder how far those poor bastards got before they drowned."
"Probably made it to the main quarry and ran out of air on the return trip," Pitt speculated. Heidi spoke the same thought that suddenly crossed everyone's mind. "Then they must have seen whatever is in there." Sandecker gave Pitt a worried look.
"I don't want you to make the same mistake."
The victims were undoubtedly weekend divers, untrained and under-equipped.
"I'd feel better if there was an easier way."
"The air vent is a possibility," said Lubin.
"Of course," Sandecker exclaimed. "Any underground mine needs air ventilation."
"I didn't mention it before because it would take forever to find it in this fog. Besides, whenever a mine is closed, the air portal is filled in and covered over. There's always the hazard of a cow or a human, especially a child, falling in and vanishing."
A knowing look crossed Pitt's face.
"I have a feeling that's where we'll find our friend Brian Shaw."
Lubin stared quizzically.
"Who's he?"
"A competitor," said Pitt. "He wants to get inside that hill as badly as we do." Lubin gave an offhand shrug.
"Then I don't envy him. Digging through a portal shaft the width of a man's shoulders is a bitch of a job."
Lubin would have got no argument from the British. One of Lieutenant Macklin's men had literally stumbled and fallen on the scar in the earth that hid the ventilator shaft. Since midnight, the paratroops had been feverishly laboring to clear the rubble-filled passage. The work was back-breaking. Only one man at a time could dig in the narrow confines. Cave-in was a constant threat. Buckets hastily stolen from a neighboring orchard were filled and pulled to the surface by ropes. Then they were emptied and dropped for the next load. The mole dug as fast and as hard as he could. When he was ready to drop from exhaustion, he was quickly replaced. The excavation went on without pause.
"What depth are we?" asked Shaw.
"About 40 feet, replied Caldwyler.
"How much further?"
The Welshman furrowed his brow thoughtfully.
"I judge we should strike the main quarry in another 120 feet. How deep the ventilator was filled, I can't say. We could break through in the next foot, or we might have to fight to the last inch."
"I'll settle for the next foot," said Macklin. "This mist isn't going to shield us much longer."
"Any sign of the Americans?"
"Only the sound of vehicles somewhere behind the hill."
Shaw lit another of his special cigarettes. It was his last one. I should have thought they'd be swarming over the hillside before now.
They'll get a jolly hot reception when they show, said Macklin, almost cheerfully.
I hear American jails are overcrowded, Caldwyler muttered. I don't relish spending the rest of my life in one.
Shaw grinned.
Should be a piece of cake for a man of your experience to tunnel out.
Caldwyler knocked the ashes out of his pipe.
Nothing like looking at the fun side, though in all seriousness I can't help wondering what in bloody hell I'm doing here.
You volunteered like the rest of us, Macklin said.
Shaw exhaled a lungful of smoke. If you live long enough to return to England, the Prime Minister himself will pin a medal on you.
All for tearing up a scrap of paper?
That scrap of paper is more important than you'll ever know.
For what it's going to cost us in blood and sweat, it had damned well better be, groused Caldwyler.
A small convoy of armored personnel carriers rolled to a stop. An officer in battle dress leapt from the lead vehicle and shouted an order. A stream of Marines, clutching automatic weapons, poured to the ground and began assembling in squads. The officer, who had an eye for authority, walked straight up to the Admiral.
Admiral Sandecker.
Sandecker fairly beamed at the recognition.
At your service.
Lieutenant Sanchez.
The arm snapped in a salute.
3rd Marine Force Reconnaissance.
Glad to see you, Sandecker returned the salute.
My orders were unclear as to our deployment.
How many men do you have?
3 squads, 40 including myself.
All right, 1 squad to cordon off the immediate area, 2 to patrol the woods around the hill.
Yes, sir.
And, Lieutenant, we don't know what to expect. Tell your men to tread with a light foot.
Sandecker turned and walked to the escape shaft. The last bar of the grating had been cut away. The diving team stood ready to pierce the heart of the hill. A curious silence fell over everyone. They all stared at the black opening as though it was a sinister doorway to hell. Pitt had donned an exposure suit and was cinching the harness of his air tank. When he was satisfied everything was in order, he nodded to Riley and the dive team.
Okay, let's make a night probe.
Sandecker looked at him.
A night probe?
An old diver's term for exploring the dark of underwater caves.
Sandecker looked grim.
Take no chances and stay healthy.
Keep your fingers crossed I find the treaty in there.
Both hands. The other is in case Shaw gets in before you do.
Yes, said Pitt Riley. There is always that.
Then he entered the beckoning portal and was swallowed up in blackness.